spiritual warfare. We're in our fifth part on the series. We've spent 3 weeks on having the mind of Christ. Did anybody grow in understanding about having the mind of Christ? Yes. The mind of the Lord? How many have had the Lord dig out your ears and you're hearing more from God than you were? We handed out a page on that. So giving simple clues, simple tips on how to hear from God, because He wants to speak to His people. And this morning, what we want to talk about is spiritual warfare and something that you don't normally think about that goes with it, but it's crucial, and it's called the peace of God. Paul is writing from a Roman imprisonment. Rome at this time was probably 4 million people strong. 4 million. Paul may be in prison, but he is a living example of being behind bars but totally free before God. Strong as a living witness for Jesus in a place where the people didn't give a rip about Jesus. Strong and free, loving Jesus in an area where people didn't give a rip about Jesus. Does that sound like it might have any application to today?
Yes.
People were comfortable in their commerce and in their worship of other gods. Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
Sure. The prison epistles, Philemon, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians. Ephesians was the fourth largest city in this part of the empire. It's now Turkey. And it was called Asia Minor in that day, that part of Asia. And it had 500,000 people, a 500,000 people in Ephesus. Ephesus, the center of demonic worship as the headquarters of the largest temple of Diana. It's the capital of the province of Asia Minor, the capital of Asia Minor itself. It was one of the cities of Ionia, which was a beautiful area in this part of the world. And it was embracing, Ephesus and the Ephesian people were embracing much of the civilization and the cultivation of the Ionian colonies. And it was developed in the best fashion and teaching of the Greek mindset. Remember, the ultimate for Greek teaching and philosophy was that man was the ultimate. Man's education, man's thought, man's principle, man's thought, his reasoning was the ultimate. Man was God in essence. Ephesus was suitably and favorably situated for commerce. They kept having to dredge out the harbors to keep the commerce of the world coming into it. But it was one of the best places in that time in the known world for commerce. And strangers gathered together to Ephesus from all the known parts of the world. It was a city of wealth. It was a city of power. It was the seat of incredible demonic worship and idolatrous worship. But now, it's a scene of absolute ruin. You look back in the picture at the title slide, and it's now a place of ruins where you can see the theater where 24,000 strong were there. You remember, if you recall your book of Acts, where the silver trade was harmed by the preaching of the gospel because people were turning against the goddess of Diana and coming to Jesus. And the silver trade was going down to zero. Their economy was harmed by the preaching of the gospel because people were turning away from sin and turning to the true God. How many are looking forward to ruining a little more economy because Jesus is being worshipped? Amen? Now we want to help people who have been based in that economy come to a new way themselves. But they went into the theater, they grabbed Paul's companions, and they shouted for 2 to 4 hours, "Great is the goddess Diana." Right there. Right there. Paul raised up a church there in the midst of this place. Hey guys, you know, the old quote says some people want to build their church building or build their home just as close as they can get it to the church building. And the other man of God said, "I'm building my church just 1 inch from the gates of hell so I can stop as many people as possible from going." It's all in the thought process. We're talking about spiritual warfare. We don't wrestle, the Bible says, against flesh and blood. It's not people that we're angry at. It's the demonic spirits that control them and lead them into expressions of life that reject Jesus and turn away from him. But where do we belong as the Church of Jesus Christ? Right there. The light shines brighter when the dark is pretty dark, right? But the light of Jesus shines brightest in those places. Paul knows these believers. He spent 3 years with them, built the church. And in Ephesus, he's powerfully reminding them of who they are in Jesus, how to stand as God's people, no matter how tough things get. And in this little book of Ephesians, he uses the phrase in Christ 35 times, more than all the rest of his letters in the New Testament. 35 times. The believer is in Christ. The believer is in Christ in heavenly places in him, chosen in him, adopted through Christ. The believer's in the beloved, redeemed in him, given an inheritance in him. The believer has hope in Jesus, who is sealed in his redemption. We're made alive together with Christ, the Bible says. We're raised and seated with him in heavenly places, created alive together with him. We're brought near by the blood of Jesus. We're growing in Christ. We're a partaker of the promises in Christ. We're given access through faith to Jesus Christ himself. Yes. Come on, I said, you are given access through faith to Jesus himself. Amen. He's not some distant God far off who doesn't care. He was right here this morning. He's right here in our hearts, and we get to serve him. And Paul's taking these people in Ephesus and reminding them, you're not being chased down by the devil. The gates of hell can't stand against the church. Rise up and be who God has created you to be. Amen. Be as strong as he's made you. Yes. Amen? Amen? Are you as strong as he's made you? Uh-huh. Okay. How many are growing in that? Yeah. Amen. Paul says to the Ephesian believers, take up your cross, take up your position, and walk in your maturity in Christ. This is the basis for their daily victory in living. There are incredible verses in Ephesians. Verses we all know about. You're saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2 verses 8 through 10. It's not of yourselves. It's not of works lest you should boast. It's the grace of God. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to good works. And walk worthy of your calling. Stand up. Rise up. Walk on in Jesus. And be all that he has created you to be. A powerful, victorious man and woman of God. First half of the book is about our provision in Christ. The first three chapters, it's rich and powerful. All that he's given us. The second half is about our practice in Christ. And the central truth is this. Your spiritual walk is rooted in your spiritual wealth in Jesus Christ. Come on, say it with me. I'm really rich. Again, I am really rich. Other people might mean that a little differently, but in Christ you have all eternal riches because of what he's done for you and for me. Now I want to encourage you to find on gracechristiancenter.us, say it with me, church, gracechristiancenter.us, you'll find a whole series on Ephesians. I'm not going to reteach that series, but it's worth your reminder and your attention, if you haven't heard it, to find out these riches that he's given us in Christ. Number one, as we're going to this morning, put on the full armor of God. Ephesians 6, verses 10 and 11 declare the word of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Finally, my brethren, I've reminded you of all these things he's invested in you. You've got riches. You've got inheritance. You've got eternal wealth. Put on now the whole armor of God and stand strong. Don't put it on partially. Don't put it on casually. How many of you, I want to see a show of hands, how many of you would go out your front door without your pants on? I'm glad I don't see any show of hands here this morning. You wouldn't go out without your pants on. You get your whole outfit on. And Paul is saying, put on the whole armor. Don't go out partially spiritual armored. Suit up so you can stand up. Suit up so you can stand up. Ray Stedman tells the story, illustrating the power of having on the full armor of God. Speaking about World War I and the British Naval Admiral, Lord David Beatty, some of you might have heard the story before of the Battle of Jutland. It was the last battle that was declared and had for their naval kind of vessels that they used at that time for those battleships. But he commanded a flotilla right into the Battle of Jutland. And as the battle began, British and German ships engaged each other in long-range artillery battle. But there was a major flaw in the British battleships. Three ships were destroyed quickly, went straight down. Over 6,000 sailors were lost. Watching this destruction, as you can imagine, the devastation of these proud ships going down, you can imagine the British admiral saying to his fellow, in great understatement, "There seems to be something wrong with our ships today." And when we are under our circumstances being totally destroyed by condemnation and temptation and being ripped apart by the devil, we need to stop long enough to say, "There seems to be something wrong with my ship today. And this isn't how God created me." And the real problem was this. They looked into the problem. And though they put armor on the sides of the World War I British vessels, they still had wooden decks. And when the enemy would lob their artillery over, it would come straight down, penetrate right through the deck, and explode the ship. Because they didn't have on the full armor. Put on the full armor of God. You don't just go to the Word and let your mind go off into every garbage heap because you have the mind of Christ. You don't leave your sword at home or in its sheath. You pull out the sword of the Lord, the Word of God, and you study it, and you see how to wage warfare by it, and you learn, and you grow, and you come be with God's people to equip you to put on that full armor of God. Number two, stand. Stand. Ephesians 6, verses 11 through 14. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. The trickery of the devil is what the Greek word is. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We just quoted this verse. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to what? Withstand in the evil day. And having done all to what?
Stand.
Come on, boom it out. To what?
Stand.
Then it goes on, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The word stand is the Greek word histemi. Say that with me. Histemi. And it means literally to abide, to continue, to hold up, to stand. The word withstand is enthistemi. And it means to stand against, to oppose. It's covering the whole gamut. You stand strong with solid, sure feet, and then you also come against the devil. And when he's coming against you, you stand and get him out of there in Jesus' name. The Bible says again, resist the devil. What will he do? Flee from you. Sign up. Stand up. Train up, suit up, and stand up. Jesus is not casual about this. Sign up, train up, suit up, stand up. Jesus is not casual about this. America, and too often political correct thinking, they don't want you to talk about this warfare stuff. It's too aggressive. Give me Jesus if it's a little peace in my cup. But Jesus wants you fully alive in his spirit. Peace comes when you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. And that's when you get peace. And as believers, be fully alive in his spirit, in his word, and stand up strong. then you do have peace to give away. Let's talk about it. His peace is your portion. Say that with me, would you please? His peace is your portion. Ephesians 6, verse 15. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, what it really means, with the readiness, you have been made ready by his peace. Now look at the shoes there. That's pretty accurate for what they were. There were spikes or nails at the bottom of the leather, and a soldier in Roman days, and remember, Paul's in prison in Rome, and he's looking at these soldiers, and he uses the analogy of their military outfit to show Christians what we have in the Spirit and how to stand strong according to the Word of God. A soldier wore special sandals or military shoes that protected his feet without slowing him down. They had shoes made of soft leather with studded soles, spikes, or nails. And this allowed the Roman military to march farther and faster than any of the other enemies at the time, or the soldiers at the time, and gave them a facility of motion in their battle. They could dig in and they could hold their ground when they were in hand-to-hand combat. You ever try to play sports without the right shoes? You ever been knocked off balance when you didn't have your shoes on? Sure. Shoes are important. My first wife who passed away, she never believed that. Barefoot was her thing. My lovely bride now, she doesn't believe it either. Barefoot is her thing. Me, if you see me, I'm wearing shoes or sandals, man, because I'm a tenderfoot. The Christians are in the battle daily, and you have the inner peace of Jesus Christ already in your heart. But when the devil, the enemy, the deceiver, according to Revelation 12, brings false ways of peace to offer you, whether it's this religion, this drug, this drink, this pornography, whatever it might be, it is an alternative to true peace. And guess what? How many are smart enough or have lived enough to know it doesn't give you true peace? You never end up peaceful afterwards, do you? Yeah, I think I want to do that. Oh man, I wish I'd never done that. Thank God for the grace of Jesus. But this refers to a believer's stability or sure-footedness from the gospel that gives you peace. This verse isn't just going out and sharing the gospel of peace. You can never share the gospel of peace if you haven't received the peace of Jesus in your own heart. He wants you to stand in the battle having the peace of God. How can you have victory, church? How can you have victory? When you know that you are made right with God. Hallelujah. When you know you're made right with God, how? Through the blood of Jesus, by his mercy, by his grace, what he did at the cross, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. Thank God, now you're right with him, and there's peace inside your heart. The devil has no opportunity to come be bigger than anything Jesus did for you. Someone say amen or oh no.
Amen.
What Jesus did for you and me is so big, the devil doesn't stand a chance. Not a chance.
Yes, I heard that. Yes.
But sometimes we get deceived and we give up our victory. And Paul was teaching the Ephesians and us, don't ever give up your victory. Jesus is bigger than any temptation that will ever come to you. Don't let the devil knock you off guard. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace with God. Come on, church. You now have peace with God. Wow. How does it get any better than that? What'd you learn about a church? There's no division between me and God. I'm at peace with God. Wow. How do you get that? Because nobody in the world's got peace today. Look around. The big conflict in the end of times will be people proclaiming peace, peace, when there is no peace. And the only peace there is in Jesus.
Amen.
Pastor Kev, I've sinned since giving my life to Jesus. Yeah, I think every one of us have. If you haven't, I want you to come up and finish the message. Thank God Jesus died for you and me. What's the Bible say? 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My dear children, I write this to you so you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, 1 John 2, 1 and 2. If anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. Who is he? Jesus Christ, the righteous. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Verse 2, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Not only for ours, but for the sin of the whole world. The answer for you, the answer through you, the answer for everybody is Jesus. If you slow down and get your eyes off the storm, and on to Jesus who's walking on the water right to you in the middle of your difficulty. Or even better, if you get your eyes off the storm and on to Jesus who you may feel went to sleep in your boat. Anybody remember the story from the New Testament? Yeah. What, don't you care? Come on. Anybody ever felt like that? Lord, I'm going through so much turmoil here. Do you not care? Did you go to sleep in my boat? You got me out here on the lake. And now I'm in a storm. Wow. You ever wonder about Jesus when he sends his disciples out onto the lake? There you go. You go across the other side. And he stayed behind so he could sit up on the hillside and watch them when the storm came. And then he comes walking on the water to them. There are two stories of the storms, you see. One is asleep in the boat, the other one walking on the water. But you notice in both stories, he's right there. How about in your storm this morning? I know some of you are in the middle of a storm. And you wonder, where did peace go? Jesus did not jump out of your boat. Jesus is here. He's here. He's bigger than the turmoil, bigger than the problem. He knows. My parents divorced when I was 6. Thought it was my fault. Didn't talk to my dad for 22 years. Had no earthly home, really. Lived in 28 places before I was 18. And you look at each other and goes, now I know why he's so strange. But Jesus took me up. I got radically saved. I had a little spurt when I was 14, but when I was 16, I really jumped in his boat. Radically saved. And I'm here to tell you, no matter how far away I ever think I may have gotten, I could never get far enough away from his hand. And he always kept a fire burning in my spirit, no matter how bad and dark it got. Oh God, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. I'll sing and give praise. I may not understand it. I may not get it. I don't know what the next steps are, but oh God, I know you're still God. Amen. And you see bigger than I do. You may be ill. You may feel broken. You may have debt and need, discouragement. And Jesus wants you to know right now, he has his hands on you. He has never let go. And when you know that, there's peace that can come in your soul because Jesus is there. If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, he wants to be the Lord in your boat. And he can calm your storm. Doesn't matter if you've been walking with Jesus for 1 minute or 48 years. He's Lord. And he loves you. He wants your feet to be sure. John 14, verse 27 out of the New King James, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See that out of the Passion. I leave the gift of peace with you. My peace. Not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. Don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous. One of the key elements for being able to wage strong spiritual warfare begins with the soldier of God being filled, being ready, being prepared, and being strong in the gospel of peace. This morning, you're not here by accident. Jesus wants you to receive his peace and his presence. And we're going to do something. I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes and be quiet for a few minutes as we play a song. It goes way back. Some of you have been around a while will recognize the voice of Chuck Girard as he sings a song that I have always felt ministered the sweet presence of God in the middle of agitation. Listen carefully to it, would you?